This is Sports Talk with Joe Smith, live from Yogi's Grill and Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And now, here's Joe Smith.
So week number two upon us and the home season of the Edgewood football Mustangs ready for a start. Four games out at the Mustang Corral for Jerry Bland's Gritters. Coach Jerry, season number 10, well in motion. And it'll be seniors night on Friday night. One of the highlights out at the old ball yard is Edgewood will host the Northview Knights at 7:30. We'll be on the airwaves at 7 o'clock with Chalk Talk, FYI. You know, there's an old saying I abided by many, many years ago, one game does not a season make. After last Friday night's season-opening road loss at Mitchell, the home turf, we have a large group of seniors, some of them with us tonight, four as a matter of fact, as I peer out, and four outstanding student-athletes getting ready to play their final season in the Mustang Corral. Lots of fuel left to spark up. Well, a successful fall for the Mustangs of 2016. The Edgewood head man, some of his seniors joining us tonight as we continue our preview of Monroe County High School football and a big night Friday coming ahead with Northview dropping in. A little bit later tonight, the commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox, drops in as another year of high school football now underway. The last year, I might add, of the current realignment, we'll talk new initiatives that have been set forth, including concussion awareness and diligence, and also the growth and support not only of football, but all sanctioned fall sports under the association. And two, the IHSAA Foundation now in full focus for school year, as well as we move forward in that regard. Commissioner Bobby Cox in the fold with us tonight. So lots to cover. And along with our producer, Will Boatman, high atop our One City Center studios downtown, and on-site producers, Joanna and Mike Lascott, and all of our sponsors, you're listening to Sports Talk, and we're live from Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar. Hi again, everyone. Joe Smith, the coach next to me with his hot wings and all. I was kidding him just a minute ago, and Jerry loves to come in here anyway and eat the wings. So I asked him, I said, well, they could put it away and keep the heat, but you got a little extra red sauce there, and I'm going to have to get a towel and wipe your perspiration off there. Hey, welcome on board. Glad having you. Glad to see some of the guys here, four outstanding seniors that, as I mentioned, will be playing their final season in the Mustang Corral. And obviously, I know things didn't go the way you wanted one loss-wise the other night, but let's talk about, first of all, this football team, Jerry, the character and the 16 seniors total that you have on this squad, and that's a pretty doggone nucleus to return to winning football this fall, Jer.
Well, it really is, and, you know, when you go through a game like we did last week and you're getting ready for a season thing, sometimes you get challenged, and we're getting challenged right now. We've had a couple injuries early in the preseason that's going to test us, and really it's about becoming a team and working together and pulling together and playing our best ball by the time we hit the tournament. So, we have 16 seniors, and it's going to come up to them to be able to pull us together, to be that family that it takes to win football games.
Well, there isn't any question, and a definite blow, because your squad by number is smallish. We'll kind of touch on that in a second, but again, you have 16 seniors, but a young man that was not a senior, thank goodness, a junior, and that was Ian Coldren, who had an outstanding sophomore year, both running the football and playing middle linebacker for you. Out with an injury. What's his timetable for his return, or is that still up in the air?
Well, it's still up in the air right now. He's actually recovering from an illness, had appendicitis, and they had to go ahead and surgically fix it. So that put him out, I think, originally is 4 to 5 weeks, and, I think we're in week two, but we're in no hurry to bring him back. You know, he's got to be healthy. He's got to be ready to go. He's got to get in shape again. Anytime you have surgery, it zaps the body. And so we'll have him by the end of the year. He's at practice every day, serving as a leader, coaching our young players, getting some of our younger linebackers some extra eyes to help guide them a little bit. And that helps tremendously.
Well, you know, too, and you were mentioning it earlier before you got really pad popping in fall practice that, some of the numbers being down, it kind of relates back to the societal type issue where there's other things out there. I mean, there's so much going on right now. And I guess you and I are old school. It gets down to the the point of dedication and commitment.
It really does. And you know, some of them have moved on to go work and things like that. And, you know, if that's what they choose to do, okay. You know, a personal opinion is you got your whole life to work. And I think of those of us that do work understand that, you know, I only have so many years to be in an activity such as this and to buy in and be committed and learn what it's going to take. And you know, we learned a lot. Last week, even in a loss against Mitchell, we've learned that what we've got to continue to work harder and get better. And as I tell our kids, I said, you know, the only time you're really going to lose is if you quit. And that's part of this tough challenge that we have in front of us is to get better each week, deal with some adversity that's coming our way. And you know, again, by the tournament season, put the best product we can on the field.
Well, I know Northview had a heck of a year last year, but that being said, they sure don't have Ben Gurton anymore, and he was a nightmare a year ago. I think I lost count on the number of touchdowns he scored, but that being said, it wasn't like Northview was in a cliffhanger the other night as they were dealt a huge loss as they lost to a real good Danville team, mm-hmm. a team you scrimmaged a couple of weeks ago mm-hmm. in your red and black game, and they got whipped 50-0.
Well, I think it was a misprint. I think it ended up 15-0. I saw that when we came out Friday night, but when we watched tape, it's...
well, that makes a little bit of difference.
We only see a couple scores there. So, you know, Northview's going to be good. They're a solid team. Coach Rates does a nice job with them. But, again, it's not the same team as last year because not only is Gurton and Tucker Stewart who... Tucker Stewart, I think three of his 4 years here single-handedly beat us than last year Gurton did. But on the same token that, you know, those kids are gone, but he only returns two of those linemen that he had, and they were some real good offensive linemen and defensive linemen. So, you know, they're not in a lot of different boat than they are. They're playing some inexperienced, whether or not they're juniors and seniors, they're still inexperienced. So, you know, it's really going to come down to execution. We're going to have to pull together as a team and work through the adversity and hang together.
Well, and I can remember, and you brought it up after the ball game the other night. It was a long night back when you were playing Bloomington North in those days, and certainly that was a long night. But you guys went on, had a lot of success. That was game one. You got a brand new 4-game season here at home, and you know the boys play well out in the corral.
Yeah, you know it's. Yeah, you know, it's a journey as they go. You know, as the college guys will talk to you and the NFL guys will say, you know, they're climbing a mountain. And we're going to have to climb that mountain. We're going to have to rely on some younger players right now. We're going to have some guys moving a couple of positions and things like that to handle against some injury-type situations. The good thing is, you know, they're getting to play a lot of football, and we're going to get better and build from now.
Well, Andrew Grafe will get his second year now. He's got one game under his belt of his second season at quarterback. Tyler McLaughlin will be another one that will be his backup, a senior, and we'll talk to him in a second. Talk a little about, I mean, there's such a huge chunk missing with Coldren out, but talk a little about the offense, the attack. Logan Day, I see, had some carries. Parker Hall had some carries the other night.
Yeah, we really, you know, in the first half in the Mitchell game, we had three drives that we really stopped ourselves, either turnover or penalty. Had we not done that, then maybe we go in 21-21, and you know, that's a different ball game. So we had some kids that made some plays defensively. You know, we had a couple. We had a pick there. We had another batter ball. Offensively, I thought, you know, we got some protection things to figure out, get made, taken care of, and. But we threw and caught the ball okay, able to move the ball, and we got to be able to sustain that and be consistent as we make our drives.
Nice home schedule, obviously Friday night's a ball game, and again a 7:30 kick honoring the seniors, something, Jerry, you started last year, and it went quite well doing it in the front part of the season rather than the final game of the home season.
Yeah, you know, this is something I did in the past, a different school, but... you know, I kind of brought it up a few years ago and there was a little resistance, but we bit the bullet last year and did it, and it turned out great. One, we still got some daylight. We get a lot of pictures. It's our big crowd, getting our seniors out, getting them recognized, which is what senior night's about. Paying tribute to those kids that have been in the program. It gives opportunities for, you know, good weather most of the time. I think three of the four senior nights leading up to last year was in the rain or in storms or in 40-degree weather, and that just kind of makes it rough.
It is,
on parents, and it makes it rough on grandparents, you know, and we want them all there. We want them to celebrate our young men that have hung with us in battling for us in the trenches, and it just turns out to be a real good night when you can do it early.
Well, as I say, four seniors are with us tonight. Tyler McLaughlin, Mason Helms, also Chase Holtman, and Matt Clemens playing another season up along the interior front. And we'll have conversation with some of the Mustangs getting ready to take on Northview. More with Coach Jerry Bland when we come back on a preview of the red and black from EHS. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. Sports Talk on a Tuesday night. Live tonight is always our home away from home at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. Jerry Bland joining us in his 10th year as head coach of the Mustangs. But we want to talk because it is seniors night, and Matt Clemens has joined us, the outstanding offensive lineman. And Matt, welcome in to Yogi's. I see you were over there enjoying a nice meal, but let's talk about your season. And, you know, I mentioned at the top, one game certainly does not a season make. Talk about the attitude and the hell-bent for leather thing to get better this week and the rest of the year.
So the Mitchell game clearly didn't go as planned. That kind of hurt a little bit. But I think we are trying to turn around, pick up the leadership. You know, people picking up at practice, trying to keep people up and going, make everybody hustle and everything. Keep a show on the road.
You know, talk a little about the offensive line. And obviously it doesn't take a mental giant to figure out you miss Ian Coldren. But talk about how the formation and how you came out, and Mitchell's going to have a nice year, and they're going to be able to run the football against a lot of teams. But talk about the formation this year of the O-line for the Mustangs.
So we are actually a pretty veteran group.
Yeah,
minus,
I saw that.
Our center, Mason Powers, who is now out with a concussion. But we'll deal with that. But I think we can get things going. We're pretty big. Quite large, actually. So we can get people moving.
You talk a little about the goals, and obviously I know you guys want to qualify and make the playoffs in the East Division. By the way, this is a non-conference game because Northview's over in the West in the WIC. And by the way, Indian Creek was added to the WIC this year, and they are in the Eastern Division. But Matt, talk to me a little about, and you mentioned Mason Powers, and he was a young kid, I think only a sophomore. Having a pretty doggone good year, was he not?
Yes, sir. He's really stepped up. He's pretty young, but he's a big kid, and I think that by his senior year, he could be a monster.
Talk to me a little about your goals other than the winning football and where you want to get better this year as we move through the fall.
I think that as a football team, my goals would be to beat Northview and to beat OV. And then as like a singular person, individual, I would try and step up in the leadership role with the loss of Ian. Ian's a big part of the team. He keeps everybody on track. He's up there. So I want to try and step up and keep everybody going.
Well, we know you will. We're looking forward to watching you play on Friday night and in a few other ball games that we have scheduled for you this year. In that familiar number 78, are you, my friend?
Yes, sir.
There you go. Hey, thanks for dropping in, and stay healthy, young man.
Thanks,
Tyler
man.
McLaughlin joining us. And Tyler, you might have saw the Herald Times the other day after the ball game, and there he was high in the sky. Picking off a ball. Tyler, welcome welcome to Sports Talk. That was a nice grab, good start. I know it didn't go well one loss-wise, but talk about your play and overall aspect of the defense this year.
Well, the defense, I mean, we're not used to the pound-pound football, but we started to adjust, and we eventually got together. We'll eventually overcome the run defense, offense.
Yeah, talk to me about your aspects of improving this year. Of course, you're a backup quarterback. I mean, you're very versatile, play a lot of positions. But that being said, your forte is defense. What's on your plate? Where do you improve this year as you play these eight games now?
Well, I think the whole team should improve as a team. Like, we should get closer and become more of a one team, and I don't know. I think I don't know. We should I don't know.
Well, no, I mean, that's valid. And you know, you talk about leadership. I mean, you four guys are part of a huge senior class, and you're 0-0 out of the corral. I mean, how was the attitude coming home and even starting the work week Monday? I mean, a good positive. Do you have a good positive feel on a bounce back on Friday night?
Yeah, I think the seniors did a really well job at being a big leader and like helping the younger kids overcome that loss and just to have a short mind and just play for the next week to work harder and get the job done next Friday.
Tyler, we appreciate you coming on board, son, and enjoy yourself with the meal. And why don't we just pass that back over there to a young man that recovered a fumble the other night against the Mitchell Blue Jackets, Chase Holtman, another senior. Chase, you're again, you know, probably be going both ways, but talk about, you know, again, the Mustangs here in the near future and this ball game coming up Friday night. What are you seeing from Northview, and what are you expecting as a senior, you four guys, to bounce back Friday night?
Well, the whole Northview thing, I'd love to beat Northview, and I know all the seniors would too. And that's our main goal this week, is to work towards beating Northview and coming together as a team, like Matt and Tyler said. And I think we're all really trying to step up a lot and replace how Ian made the team like come together. And Northview has been in the back of our heads since last year, so.
Yeah, and you know, losing a key piece, you got to be resilient, because obviously losing Ian really hurt you. That was a setback that you didn't foresee. But that being said, you know that eventually, hopefully, knock on wood, he'll be back, and that'll make you stronger. Where are you going to get better now as you progress through the fall, other than getting this big W Friday night, Chase?
I really think I need to work on just, like, staying focused more during the game. And I think a lot when I'm out on the field, and I mess up when I'm thinking. And this week, since we're probably going to need help on running back, I'm going to have to step it up there and really get putting in hard work there and putting in hard work at linebacker.
Tell me a little about Parker Hall. I see he got some carries the other night. What kind of a offensive back is he?
Well, Parker, he's really good. He got tore up today.
He got hurt too?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, let's see. So Tyler's the only one that hasn't mentioned an injury yet, and we haven't mentioned Ryan Stuffel yet, and he broke his hand. So we're being positive here, so, you know, today as we get set. Okay, let me ask you another question. We had the 40-second clock, the field clock. How'd that affect the flow of play as you were in there the other night? Did you tell a big difference between 25 and 40, setting the chains and everything, getting the ball in play?
No, not really. I mean, it was a little different because we had more time. I'm not used to having a bunch of time. I'm used to, like, being quick. But playing on defense, that Mitchell offense, they were quick the whole time anyways, so they never really ran it up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, this is going to be a good opportunity for you. Like I say, Northview and Owen Valley, I know you want to have that black and blue trophy back on. And Mason, I think you could probably use the mic there rather than the headset. And Mason Helms joining us on the corner in the secondary for Ryan Rosenberg's defense. Well, where's the Mustangs? I don't want to talk to you about the health state, but otherwise than that, do you like the feel when practice started that you guys are going to show you some resiliency and bounce back?
I definitely feel like, especially Monday and even today, that we're coming together even more. Especially with Ian being out, you know, we're all having to step up and try and fill his shoes, but We got kids filling it. We'll be fine.
You know, the boys, you know, your teammates here, Chase and Tyler, and I know Matt doesn't like Owen Valley. None of you four do. And, you know, it's like IU, Purdue, or anything else, black and blue trophy. Owen Valley kind of gets in your crawl, but you got him at home in a couple of weeks.
Yes, sir.
So you're looking forward to bringing the trophy back to where it belongs?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you going to get better? I know you had a decent game the other night, but you build on and you learn from – I don't know, adversity. You know, football is a great teacher. So this is a great opportunity early season before you start the home campaign to, you know, see what's see what's down in here in the heart. Right. You excited about going out Friday night?
I'm always excited to go out Friday night. I love the game. I love playing it. So, I mean, every Friday night, no matter who it is, non-conference, conference, rivals, anybody, I'm always ready.
When did you, what early age, are you one of the players that Jerry brought up during the, when did you start playing youth football and started putting on the pads?
I don't know exact, like, what age I was, but as soon as I was able to run around, I was always in the backyard throwing, running, always doing something with football.
Well, like I say, Mason, it's a brand new season, a new home season, four nice ball games. You got Indian Creek coming into the yard, OB, this one Friday night at 7:30, and it's seniors night, and like I say, it's a big class, and we wish you nothing but the luck, the best of luck, and to all four of you, stay healthy, Mason, stay healthy.
I'll try.
All righty, my friend, Mason Helms joining us. So a feel for some of the Mustangs, and, you know, we, you know, injuries are a part of the game, but my golly, Jerry, do they all have to come?
they're kind of all attacking us right now at one time, and you know, we don't know the extent yet right now where Ryan stuff is going to be. You know, we're looking at least next week, maybe a little longer, but we're not real sure. You know, Parker will get evaluated today and tomorrow morning, so we'll know where he's at, hopefully.
Does Parker get hurt today?
Yeah, he went down in practice, so we'll look and see. And maybe it'll be good news, maybe it'll be bad. We just don't know yet. So, you know, you know, but that's what I'm talking to the players about. You get challenged early. Some young players got to step up. Some older players got to step up, maybe do some things they haven't done for a while. And you know, when we get all of them back to healthy and all of them back on the same page, and then we're a stronger football team. So we're going to keep battling and moving up as we go.
Well, as I look on the calendar, today is, what, the 23rd of August, game night, the 26th. There's an entire year. And the playoffs at the end of the rainbow for the Mustangs. So thanks for bringing the young men on board. Looking forward to watching them a couple of times. We have this one. We have the Indian Creek game coming up in late September. Hey, you got a lot of things going on, too. You got the Indianapolis Colts Mobile Museum coming up, little kid zone for active play. It's going to be on the grounds from 5 until 7. You got a lot in addition to introducing and honoring all your seniors.
Well, you know, that's part of the kind of the niche for our senior night being first game is you can get some of these other things going. And the Indianapolis coach, Mr. Height, brought them in last year. They do a little kind of I was at the game last year, so I don't know. But there's going to be the Indiana National Guard's going to be there, who's a big supporter of ours, and we're a big supporter of them. You know, they are going to have some inflatables and things. There's going to be some free food. You know, and really it's all to build excitement around our football program, our school community, and these seniors. So, you know, we're hoping to have our big crowd and get them there and celebrate our seniors and then go out and compete and get after Northview.
Going to be a free concert from Reese Phillips starting at 5:30. And we even hear a rumor that the dynamic Colt cheerleaders will be on hand. But the boys are going to be involved in the Northview Knights. And these four both worrying about their offense and how they could put Luke Lancaster on his rump a few times, Tyler and Chase and Mason on Friday night, the Northview quarterback. Well, I asked Chase about that 40-second clock. Did I, in all this excitement of medical reports here and your hot wings, I forgot to ask you. We'll embellish it more with the commissioner.
Sure.
Do you like the 40-second clock?
I really do. You know, I was one of the coaches, I'll be up front, said this is a rule we needed to look at. It's a rule I voted for. I think it makes the game consistent. I think it takes the pressure off the officials. I mean, it's simply the play's over, you mark it, you go. And so there's none of this, well, you know, you're taking 8 seconds to mark it, you're taking 10, you know, and some years we've been up-tempo, some years we've been slow down, and you know, like, honestly, for us on Friday night, there wasn't much difference. I mean, we were just up and going and ready to go anyway. So it really was not a non-factor for us on Friday.
Well, Jerry, we thank you for dropping in, and enjoy the rest of the evening. And when I come out to do the pregame show, we'll have a, I'm sure, a clearer picture as to who's in and who's not. And we wish you a safe training, if you will, practice the rest of the week. But seriously, it's part of the game, but you brought four men that are pretty intent upon making it a winning season as they go out this year, their final year.
Well, you know, and part of this is, you know, a lot of our senior group have been with us for 4 years, and you know, it's just one of those things right now that this ingredient missing, that ingredient missing, and you know, they're there. We're just a little banged up or medically or whatever, and so we got to, you know, we got to overcome the challenge. We got to face the challenge just like you do in life, and you know, we'll meet it head on and continue to get better and work every week and be playing our best football, hopefully in a crossover game for a title, and then hit our sectional, which, you know, is a challenge in its own.
No question about that. Looking forward, Chalk Talk at 7 o'clock, and again, kickoff from the Corral for the Red and Black against the North Unites at 7:30. Jerry, thanks, and we'll see you a bit later in the week, my friend.
Great.
Enjoy your hot wings. Jerry Bland joining us, along with the Edgewood Mustangs, Mason Helms, Chase Altman, Matt Clemens, and Tyler McLaughlin joining us as well. And when we come back, we'll talk to the commissioner of the IHSAA, Bobby Cox. A lot going on as far as the association is concerned. Always looking forward to bringing in BC when he's in Bloomington. We thank him for dropping down from Indianapolis. That conversation and lots more. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Welcome back, everyone. We wish the best of the Mustangs. Seniors night on Friday night out of the Corral against Northview. And a tip of the cap to the Yogi's Employee of the Week, Hannah Small, who does an outstanding job for Ron and Jess and Joanna and all of the crew here at Yogi's Grill and Sports Bar at the corner of 10th and Indiana. And I know one of the commissioner's favorite eateries when he's in Bloomington, and we're thankful that he's here tonight. He's kind of done this, I think this is your third year driving down from Indy, Bobby, and Cox, and sixth year as commissioner of the IHSAA, and it all started last week, well, with football anyway, and from all early indications, the season off with a bang.
It has been, Joe, and I really appreciate the invitation to come down and visit with you again this year. It's always a joy for me to come to Bloomington and talk about the beginning of the IHSA sports seasons, and we did have a great first week, and not only did we have our Friday night football, but all our other fall sports began during the week earlier. And they're all up and running, and all indications that we're off to a good start.
Six classes, as you know, in state high school football, and I think that has gone relatively well. And that being said, Bobby, this is going to be, from what you told me earlier in the week, the last year of the current realignment as it stands. Talk about that.
That's correct. Every 2 years in our team sports, we reclassify and realign. So the association will be collecting the enrollment numbers that are submitted to the Department of Education for the September count.
Okay.
And we will classify all 410 member schools first. Once those classifications are made, and then we publish those lists to make sure our schools know where they fall within that list of 410 from largest to smallest, then we form realignment committees in all of our team sports. And then knowing the classifications in each of those sports, six in football, four in the basketballs, and so forth, then we go back and we realign our sectionals based upon those classifications. So we'll have some fluctuation. Some teams will move up, some teams will move down because of enrollment. And also because of our success factor, we'll have schools that may move up, schools that may retreat. And so all those realignment committees will have the task of constructing new sectionals for the next 2 years.
But you cannot retreat more than one class.
That's correct. Our board of directors passed a bylaw that was a tweak to the what's Rule 2.5 in our bylaws, and it says that if a school would move down, if they don't achieve that level of success, that they only can move down one classification at a time and not previously where it said where their enrollment may dictate their classification.
Gotcha.
So the obvious example is Cathedral High School in football. They're in 6A. And should they not achieve enough success to stay in 6A, then they would move to 5A. Their enrollment is such that they might even be 5A when we do the realignment and reclassification. But the bylaw would then dictate where they would go.
Realignment-wise, Will, and 6A, since you began this reclassification a few years ago, 6A is 32 of the largest enrollment schools in the state. Will that always stay at 32 or grow more?
Currently under the bylaws, that class 6A is always 32 schools. And okay. And in a perfect world, we'd have 320 football-playing schools, which would allow for 64 schools in each of the first four classes, 1 through 4. 32 and 5, and 32 and 6. Well, the reality is the 32 largest schools in 6A, if you're the 33rd school, you certainly don't want to be in that classification. So what we do is the overflow, if we have more than 320 schools, they go in 5A.
Well, and mentioning football while we're staying there, obviously you heard the medical report, not off to the best regard the Edgewood Mustangs, but they'll overcome their injuries here early in the season, but you heard one of the Mustangs talk about a teammate sustaining a concussion, and something that's right, number one on everyone's list, in any sport, really, not only football, but awareness and diligence from all of the member schools. And Bobby, as you know, coming down here, we have basically, with Indian Creek added in, we had Johnson Green, Morgan Brown, Bartholomew Lawrence, and also Owen County, in addition to Monroe. So we got to tell the listeners out there a little about the awareness that moving forward by the association.
Well, as everyone should know, there is a concussion law. It's a state law with respect to education of coaches. And the IHSA has taken further steps to encourage our member schools. We have a concussive event reporting system where our athletic trainers in our member schools report concussive events and we track those. And we are in our third year of doing that now. And what we hope to do, Joe, is to be able to track some data with respect to which sports have the most concussions. Are they happening in practice? Are they happening in games? What surfaces are they occurring in? Those types of things. And so then we can take that data to rules writing bodies and other concerned groups and make some determinations about how we're practicing, how we're teaching, how things are being conducted in those various environments so that we make sure the game is safer for kids, whether we're talking about football or soccer or basketball or any of them.
We had a situation, and most teams, all teams have team doctors, but it's hit and miss with some of the smaller schools in counties that have the training personnel. For instance, we're blessed with having the IU Health Hospital, IU Bloomington, right here. And have you heard of any, are most teams equipped now, and have they been able to afford and put that in their budgets to safeguard the kids in all sports?
I would tell you that most schools have some type of medical support. There are very few schools in our membership that have no medical support, but it's still a challenge.
Yeah.
The reality is in Indiana, like a lot of states in our country, there are some rural areas where there are high schools and there's not the same level of medical support that we would enjoy in areas like Bloomington or Indianapolis or any of our major metropolitan areas. So that's always a challenge for our members to reach out and work together with those providers to have somebody available, particularly in those collision sports such as football and soccer, to make sure we've got somebody there to ensure the health and safety of our young people.
Commissioner Bobby Cox of the IHSAA joining us in his sixth year. And, you know, let's you know, go back 6 years when you began, and of course you've been lifelong decades, not only as a teacher, but a administrator and an outstanding commissioner, Bobby. But numbers-wise, how much of an improve are we on currently, a rise, if you will, of student participation, student-athlete participation in all of our sports, as it maybe relates to Illinois or, say, Ohio or Michigan or Kentucky?
Sure. The National Federation just released their participation numbers for the 2015-16 year. Our numbers are always 1 year behind, and so we capture those numbers nationwide. Indiana's participation levels are up, as well as the National Federation. So participation in our country is up in education-based athletics. Participation is up in Indiana. That's a good sign because we've got young people gravitating toward these programs. And while that's a good thing, we also want to make sure that there's quality programming and that all of our programming is safe and we're paying attention to the health and well-being of these young people. So I'm very encouraged by those numbers, particularly when you start comparing it to the conversations that have gone on about concussion and other sudden cardiac arrests and other things that really alarm parents. And I would tell our listeners that given the work that the National Federation has done, the Football Rules Committee specifically, the Indiana Football Coaches Association locally, I don't think the game of football has ever been safer at our level than it is today. The awareness with concussions, the amount of baseline testing that's going on with concussive measurement tools, and then the retesting and protocols for return to play and return to learn, I don't think the game's ever been safer, and I feel really good about those things.
Well, and the impact, testing, and it's something that has been, and it saves lives. I mean, you can't take for granted, a concussion situation that can grow into, no matter how old you are or how young you are, as we see these. And mentioning one of your old sidekicks just dropped in, Sandy Searcy, who works for her new job is working with the National High School Federation and is a member of our Monroe County Sports Hall of Fame. You miss her?
I mean,
you got qualified. You got a great crew up
there. We've
got
a great staff. But
those
Sandy's
were pretty tough shoes to fill
very
there.
Very much so. Sandy's an all-star, and she's doing great things at the National Federation, and I'm always happy to see her.
By the way, and she always gave me my hardbound IHSA director. Now, I know it doesn't come out until October, but don't forget me now.
We'll make sure you get one.
And send one right there. Bobby Cox joining me tonight, Commissioner of the IHSAA. Say, a couple of years ago, mentioning your board of directors, they approved the IHSA Foundation, and that was 2 years ago. You actually got it up and running this year. Talk about the initiatives now of the foundation, because you're going to have the presence. And what was the formation, the idea behind the IHSA Foundation?
Joe, when I took over as commissioner in 2011, one of the first questions posed to me by the media and by membership was, what are we going to do to help schools? And what are we going to do to help young people from a financial perspective? And that's a difficult question to answer because our member schools are on their own in their athletic departments. They receive no tax dollars other than the stipends that are paid to the coaches.
Right.
And the IHSA received no tax dollars whatsoever. We are a private, non-for-profit 501c3. So as we started thinking about how are we going to move forward in the next century, the next decades, and how are we going to ensure programming for these young people, I had always thought about starting a foundation. The IHSA never had a foundation. There are about a dozen state associations around our country that have foundations where they provide funding for special programming. And one of the things that I think is very important as we continue to recognize the excellence of seniors in our state, the IHSA presents 42 Mental Attitude Awards every year. That's a $1,000 award to each of those young people. We also present 13 $2,500 awards through our Cato Scholarship Program. Well, you total that up, that's $74,500 that the association annually gives to young people. We would like to see that be moved into a foundation activity where we can endow those scholarships. Sure. And then not only do that, one of the things that I really feel passionate about is allowing for a grant program for our member schools, where our member schools out there decide they want to have some type of programming with respect to citizenship, servant leadership, community service, sportsmanship, whatever it might be. Well, let's say they want to have a guest speaker. They don't have the funding to do that. Well, our member schools can apply to the foundation in a grant program to get funding to do that. So we are building that foundation now. We've had our first year. We had a very successful initial inaugural golf outing at Prairie View Golf Club this summer. Even though it rained all day, we had a great time, and we raised some funds for the foundation. We will have a presence at most of our state championship events by members of our foundation board, members of our association board, directors, and our student advisory committee.
Well, that's just outstanding. And to let that grow in its endowment, you know, it's just, you know, you spend it to make it. You know, that's what we're all in here, and it doesn't get cheaper. And it's not going to get any cheaper for all of the member schools. What is the total membership? Are those numbers completely in for the association?
Well, right now we just admitted two new member schools, actually one here in Bloomington, the Lighthouse Christian Academy.
I know they were waiting on
they
that.
They've applied for membership, had
Great.
Been approved by the board. Now they will enter their four-year period of probation where we will assign a mentor to the school, one of our assistant commissioners, and we will meet with them annually and monitor the development of their athletic program. And if they're successful after that fourth year, then they'll be eligible for IHSA tournament series events.
Great. Great to hear that. And they have put together some nice staffs, and they've had some nice teams playing very competitively in basketball in particular. And that's good news to hear. Always great seeing you. You heard Coach Bland talk a little about the 42nd clock, something that's in now, the field clock in high school football. What have you been hearing around the state? Is it here to stay?
Well, I've heard good things, Joe. Anecdotally, we're capturing data every game. We're requiring our member schools to report to us number of plays, time, length of game, so on and so forth. And this is an experiment that the National Federation has allowed Indiana to conduct. When rules changes of this magnitude are presented in all sports, there's an opportunity for states to petition to do an experiment. We're doing an experiment right now on the 42nd clock, and then we will capture this data. We will present it to the National Federation, to the Football Rules Committee. Robert Falkins, one of our assistant commissioners, sits on the Football Rules Committee. It will be his responsibility to present this data to the Football Rules Committee. They will have conversation about it. I anticipate, and I don't know how this will turn out, but I anticipate that if the data is positive, that the Football Rules Committee may return a verdict that would say, with state association adoption, a state may adopt the 25-second clock or the 42nd clock.
Oh.
And I think if that is the verdict of the Football Rules Committee and that is written into the rules code, Indiana will go with the 42nd clock.
Well, that's interesting, and well, it does. Well, I saw it firsthand. Unfortunately, at the short end of the stick the other night, Brownsburg used the clock very well, extending the end of the game with a 2-point lead, nursing it, milking it, whatever adjective you want to use, but successfully, I might add. So we'll see how strategy-wise that affects the O and the D as we move through the regular season. Hey, always great seeing you. Thanks for dropping in, and let's do it again. Maybe after the first of the year, we'll have a better feel for how the 2016 portion of the school year went.
Love to do it, Joe. Thank you very much.
Bobby Cox joining us, the commissioner in his sixth year of the IHSAA, and we'll be back to close things out. You're listening to Sports Talk. We're live from Yogi's. Well, that's going to be about to wrap it up. Again, our congrats out to Hannah Small, the Yogi's Employee of the Week, and for good reason. We love to do that. Hey, In the Zone, Dave and Glass, your phone calls tomorrow night at 6. We got the Reds coming up here at 7 o'clock against the Texas Rangers. Hey, a shout-out. Tom Crean's going to be speaking at the Boys and Girls Club on Thursday night. They have 5 tables left, so get a hold of Jeff Baldwin at the club. That's Thursday night, so I wanted to, you know, take care of that. And don't forget the Colts kickoff this Friday out at the Junior High, all part of the Edgewood going on Seniors Night. Thanks to the Mustangs for coming in. Best of luck against the Northview Knights on Friday night. That'll about do it for our producer, Will Boltman. You've been listening to Sports Talk on News Talk 96.1 AM 1370 WGCL. And our thanks for talking. Good night. See you next week on Sports.